Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
All right, we'll get into this, but a little bit of breaking news. I mean, going back to very early on the show, Tyler was, you know, telling us how certain people that compete in sports aren't athletes. And it got, you know, darts and bowling, marathon running. We went back and forth. And I pointed out, well, what about shooters? And I knew I had an ace up my sleeve.
You knew you were going to put me on the spot.
I knew it.
You were going to ask me to offend a friend. And you knew what you were doing.
And you said no to shooters. And I go, oh. So Mitch Unrein's wife, who has represented our country multiple times in the Olympics, is not an athlete. Just to be clear, Mitch Unrein's Olympic-level wife is not an athlete.
Yeah, thank you for that. I really appreciate you putting me on the spot on that
and
one. Mitch Unrein has reached out in a public forum, and it's a little bit scary.
What did he say?
He didn't say a lot. That's the most disturbing part about it. All he said was, I heard what you said about my wife today, Tyler Palumbis, at DMAC, at 104.3 The Fan,
..
That's it. I'm on notice that he heard. And Mitch, I hope you heard the part where I acknowledged that you could beat me up. I hope that you heard that part as well, okay?
Mitch can be scary.
Because I did acknowledge that I don't want any part of you, Mitch. And I'm sorry he trapped me. I got backed into a corner and I had to stick to my guns, no pun intended.
So is Corey, his Olympic wife, who's also a Coloradan, by the way, is she an athlete?
She's a very skilled shooter.
Wow! Bring it! Story number
You're
one!
Such a jerk.
Tyler says Mitch Unrein's Olympic wife is not an athlete.
You
Amazing.
Ever wanted to just punch a grown man right in the groin?
Well, thank God we have COVID for this purpose and there's a piece of plexiglass that's impenetrable. There's no way to get around the piece of plexiglass.
I do kind of want to do that right now to you. I've never actually done that, but Jamal Murray has. Jamal Murray has punched a grown man right there in the groin.
Right.
He got fined $25,000, but he did not get suspended. Are you surprised he didn't get suspended?
I actually saw a snarky listener say 25. Shouldn't he got fined $50,000? Fill in the joke, right? He definitely... I'm
sorry, Mitch.
He definitely knocked that guy in the nads on purpose. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
He grabbed him by the backside. He brought him in closer.
Well, Mitch Unrein, he was trying to do a single leg. What can I tell you? Wrestling. I guess he deserves that. I mean, these guys make millions.
Oh, I'm actually surprised he didn't get suspended.
Okay, right.
You should be suspended. You grabbed a grown man. You intentionally tried to punch him in the gonads. Gonads. That's not okay. Yeah.
Ring it, Kevin. I have the confrontational audio. So to set this up a little bit, it is dicey. And Kevin, you may want to bring the music down just for this because I just want to make it clear. There was a series of questions about to Les Snead, the GM of the Rams, making it, hey, is Jared Goff your guy or not? So this is one reporter. I'll explain the whole thing. This is one reporter, and this is his third question about it to Les Snead.
Okay, and finally, I'm sorry. So you can't say at this moment that Jared Goff will be on the team in 2021.
What I can say is Jared Goff's a Ram in this moment, and I said it's way too early to speculate. The future, that's a beautiful mystery.
Okay, and now he's being snarky because he's bringing up beautiful mystery like Aaron Rodgers said, okay? That's him being snarky. Okay, fine, that's funny, sort of. Bill Plaschke, who's on with Woody Page on Around the Horn and is a long-established writer. And I've been on some of these Zoom calls, and I see the Woody Pages of the world. They definitely have a sense of maybe a little bit of entitlement with how they ask questions. Well, Bill Plaschke is absolutely deserved and like that in Los Angeles. So here's what he says, asking Les Snead.
Given that Jared and Sean work so closely together, given Sean's lack of public confidence in Jared, is it problematic moving forward if Jared's a quarterback, their work and relationship? Do you think it's been affected by any of this?
I don't. In most QBs, a lot of QBs, a lot of coaches are going to have tough conversations. So I actually think I can say this, Bill, maybe a tough conversation, right, in the moment leads to some semblance of friction per se. But I'm a believer that you can use that friction to move forward, maybe even get closer. So I would say no.
Well, he's dodging, dip, diving, ducking, and dodging, obviously. Yep. And Bill Plaschke won't have it.
Well, Les, you know.
Where are those conversations?
Given your uncertainty today, you know you could end all this. You're setting yourself up for a whole summer of questions about Jared. You can end it right now by saying he's a quarterback of the future for this team. So, I mean, you realize what you're setting yourself up for here.
I mean, in this job, right, you're always going to get questions. So I think
I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you one more chance to say he's your quarterback.
Oh, Jared Goff's he's a Ram right now. So what's the date? January 26th. I mean, that's a fact. That's obvious. He's right. I mean, he's number two in wins. Him and Sean have partnered together.
Just stop it.
I do know is, and I
who
think
cares that, about the rest?
You know, I actually could hear Plaschke laughing about it in the background. You know what? That wasn't quite as jerky as I thought. I think Plaschke actually was.
I'm trying to give you an out here. Trying to give you the opportunity to shut me up.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was brutal.
All right. My question.
Brutal.
Longest top six question ever. But my question is, what do you think the future is for Jared Goff based on what you just heard?
Jared Goff is owed $40 million still by the Rams. Jared Goff will be the quarterback of the Rams. They're not happy about it. They might have an open competition with, dang it, I can't remember his name.
John Wofford.
Thank you.
Wofford.
Thank you.
Like the college.
Played in the playoffs there, so you might have a little bit of an open competition, but at the end of the day, you've got a Carson Wentz situation where you've got so much money tied up into this guy. You don't have you can't trade him. Nobody wants Jared Goff in that contract. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, and the Rams do not have a first-round pick either, as they gave it up in the Jalen Ramsey deal, so they're really stuck. Like, you could see a scenario where the Falcons, who are drafting at 4, do take a quarterback. Matt Ryan is the starter, and you have a situation like Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes for a year in Atlanta. You could actually see that. That is not the case with the Rams. They're not going to get a quarterback like that. I mean, they could take, they could take Kyle Trask, I guess, Tyler, in the second round, or a guy like Ian Book from Notre Dame. I mean, that could happen. That's dangerous, though. Either way, my guess is that at some point next year, Jared Goff, if things go poorly at all, will be the highest paid backup in the NFL.
Wow. All right, we'll see.
Ring it.
Man, Colts got themselves in a little bit of a messy situation here, and it makes sense that they would be all in on going after Matt Stafford. However, Jim Irsay was asked today about Andrew Luck. Seeing where Andrew Luck is at. Well, Jim said that he knows we would love to have him back, but only he can answer that question deep down in his heart and his soul. Hey, do I really want to come back and be the quarterback for the Colts again in the NFL? It's easy for us. He knows how much we would love to have him be our quarterback. All right. You know, nobody's really talking about it. Nobody's really considering it, but I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to tell you from personal experience that it's about year two, year three that it really hits you. You sit down year one, it's awesome. Man, I got freedom. I don't have to work out. I don't have to go show up. Man, this is the best thing ever. Year two, you're looking at it like, I think I'm still better than those guys. Year three, you flat out miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Year three, you're like, man, I'm never going to have that again. Is it crazy to think that Andrew Luck actually might come back?
Yes, it's crazy. Yeah, the one thing I've read about Andrew Luck is just his large interest in other stuff. He's got a wide variety of things that he's just into in life. I don't know any reason for a guy that's got enough money to do whatever he wants to do in life and life interests him to go back and do the same thing. I don't see it.
Yeah, he seems like he definitely knows what he wants in life, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, most guys pine for it because they got nothing else going on.
The only thing that gets me a little bit is that most of the time when you retire, you should be mostly happy with just an ounce of kind of, I'm not going to say sadness, but just you're going to miss it, right? You shed a tear. You watch his presser, man. That guy was filled with question marks whether he was doing the right thing or not.
I don't know.
I would love to see him come back. That's all I know.
It seems highly unlikely to me.
Ring 31.
Ring it, Kevin. Mike Greenberg about the Super Bowl. Fascinating question for you to think about.
But at number one, and everyone on Twitter yelled at me, I have this year Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. This is the best quarterback matchup in Super Bowl history. It'll actually be the first ever Super Bowl between the last two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, but that's not even the point. This is, and Tony Romo said it on the telecast the other day, Ryan Clark, this is like if Michael Jordan got to play LeBron James in the finals right now. We actually get to see it. Their age is generally close enough. They're 18 years apart in age that we actually get to see the all-time great against the heir to his throne. To me, it's the best Super Bowl matchup ever. Do you want to change my mind?
Agree or disagree?
He's got a good point. I thought Richie put out a funny tweet a few days ago when he put the old goat with the long goatee and he put the little baby goat, right? That's what it is. We got the baby goat going up against the real goat. It's an incredibly fascinating matchup just to think, man, is Patrick Mahomes really going to be able to do this? Tom Brady's been in the Super Bowl 10 out of his 19 years. What are we really looking at with Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. I wouldn't call it the best matchup of all time because I think there's been more intriguing matchups, but it's a fascinating storyline.
Ultimately,
I mean, I expect the Bucks to get blown out, so I can't call it the best matchup of all time.
Well, but you didn't say best team matchup, best quarterback matchup.
Okay. Still.
Well, I'd agree with Greenberg here. First of all, you've got to start with Tom Brady because this is not an argument. He is the greatest NFL quarterback of all time, period. So then you just have to boil it down to what will be his 10th matchup because he's got to be part of the greatest quarterback argument of all time, the end. So you only have 9 other games besides this one to compare it to. So, is this better than a matchup with Eli Manning?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a better matchup than with Russell Wilson?
So you got to define Tom. Where's Tom Brady at in his career? Where he is today? Is that what we're literally assuming?
Correct.
Yes. Then it's better.
And then you got.
I can't think of a better matchup than Patrick Mahomes.
And I cannot imagine this conversation even happening without mentioning Tom Brady as one of the participants in the greatest Super Bowl quarterback matchup of all time because he's the greatest quarterback. So again, I mean, who else? I mean, we got Russell Wilson, Eli Manning. Who else did Tom Brady play in the Super Bowl? I mean, who else? Jared Goff obviously is better than that. Nick Foles better than that. I mean, you can just keep going down the line. So Greeny's right. Greeny is right. In terms of quarterback matchups, this is it. This is the best one of all time. Enjoy it. I don't know who the hell you root for in this one if you're a Broncos fan, but I agree with you, by the way. I think the Chiefs are going to win, like, easily. I think they're going to kill the Bucks, but we'll see how I really feel about that. We'll see how if I really feel like that. Ring it, Kevin.
Lions have reportedly already spoken to over a third of the NFL in regards to a Matt Stafford trade. That's insane. I think you said you saw something where they've talked to half of the NFL. Is that right?
Stink said that. You were okay. Right. But I knew I had heard it, and you reminded me it was Stink that said it. So Stink said, and listen, Stink has covered every single quarterback since 1960. So do not question if he knows what he's talking about. He's on Stink Island with a statue.
All right. We're at a third of the NFL is made in an inquiry.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? What's going to be the value? And who are the top 3 teams?
The value is going to include a first rounder this year, period. Because the teams that are interested are Washington Football Team, the Colts, the Patriots. The Patriots are at 15. Washington Football Team's at 19. Colts are at 21. You guys want to keep going on some other teams that might be interested? I mean, I don't think there's anybody above the Panthers. I just don't feel like the Panthers are one of those teams that'd be interested because I think they're going kind of the rah-rah college sort of thing.
They got to be high on the Deshaun Watson trade list.
So, yeah, I would think so. So I want to rule them out. So those are the teams I think, and it's going to cost you a first rounder. And that is the only capital the Broncos have above all those teams. So I don't think it can happen for the Broncos without that number 9 pick. Now, that being said, I'd way rather have number 9 than 15, 19, or 21.
I agree with just about everything you said. I'm just not willing to give up the number 9 overall.
Well, there you go. That's fine. And you're going to have Andy Dalton and Drew Locke. So how do you feel about that?
I'm not ruling out trading up for Justin Fields. I'm not ruling out trading up for Zach Wilson.
I just don't know how you do it.
Well, you package a deal together and you move up to number 3. It's not that hard.
It's just, all right, ring it and wrap it up. We'll get to the game. It's just, I'm picturing George Payton as he was yesterday talking to the offensive coaches and trying to sell them on moving up, which might cost you a first-round pick to move up or something to get Justin Fields compared to giving up a first-round pick to get Matt Stafford. I'm just having the hardest time selling that to the offensive coaches of the Broncos.
I will agree with you on this. If he's not willing to give up the number 9 overall for Matt Stafford, it's probably unlikely that he's willing to trade up for Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. So the two probably do go hand in hand. I'm not ruling out the possibility. If you love Justin Fields or you love Zach Wilson,
can I give you a guy?
You can go get him for sure. You can.
Can I give you a guy? Can I give you a dark horse that I want you to look at and really give me your opinion on?
Sure.
The one guy in this draft that you wouldn't have to move to get that I think the Broncos actually would be interested in is Mac Jones.
Mm.
Think about it.
Well, I'll watch it. I know he's having a great week at the Senior Bowl.
It's certainly not going to be Trey. It's not going to be Trey Lance.
Cecil's given us glowing reviews. Based off my early opinion of Mac Jones, I think he should be a second rounder that will probably go late in the first.
I think he's going to move up. I've already seen many mocks, and we're going to talk to Raul Martinez, who covers the Patriots tomorrow, which will be great. 2-for-1 there, because we can talk about Matt Stafford and their interest, and also Mac Jones. I've seen Mac Jones mock to the Patriots at least a dozen times. We're hearing reports from Cecil at the Senior Bowl how he is improving his stock. Okay, just do some logical thinking here. If he's worth it at 15, why isn't he worth it at 9?
He would be. Personal opinion on what I've seen so far, he's not worth it at number 9 or number 15.
Okay, so you're in with Drew Locke then. You're hoping for the best.
Why do you only hear what you want to hear?
Well,
why do you only hear what you want to hear? I mean, how many times do I have to tell you?
I know, but
Zach
all right,
Wilson and Justin Fields are available.
Come on, man. Do you think either of those guys is going to be available after 5?
Gosh, you literally are not listening. I said you package a deal together and you go to number 3.
I am listening. I just
no,
don't.
You're not.
I literally do not think there's a way to actually. I guess I'm doing a bad thing because I'm sort of denying the premise. I just do not. I just cannot think of a way that actually happens to get to 3.
Why?
I don't know how you do it.
Why does that sound so hard to you? That's not that
because
hard.
Because the value for those teams that are
Miami's
that high.
Miami's got a million first-round draft picks. They had him last year. They've got him this year.
All right, can you do me a favor?
You go
then?
From 3 to 9.
All right.
It's not that hard.
Can I ask a favor?
Sure.
One favor. Can you find me a team that's actually done that ever? Gone from
on the spot right now?
No. Well, you know, tomorrow, later this week, whatever.
Wait, what is the specific
gone from 9
premise?
To the top?
So if it's 10-4, that doesn't count. If it's 11-2, that doesn't count.
10-4, 11-2 would count. 10-4 would count.
What was the Rams when they went to go get? They traded away the picks for Robert Griffin to Washington.
I don't know. I don't know.
There's scenarios that are going to be close.
That's okay.
For sure.
Then just find me one, and you know what? And you don't have to. But I'm more curious about it than I'm questioning about it. So I'm not doubting that it hasn't happened. I am just not aware of it.
Well, bottom line is it's no different than trading up. Like, it's no different than what the Chiefs did to go get Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I think it is, though. They went from, like, they went to 10.
So?
They didn't go from, like, 10 to 3. They went from, like, 20-something to 10.
Yeah, they moved up 10 spots. They moved up over 10 spots.
It just feels to me, the higher you go, the more like when you're losing weight. When you lose weight, Richie, let's just take Richie for example.
Jeez.
When you start, you kind of dump a lot of weight right off the bat, right, Richie?
That's correct.
You dial it in. You have, you know, Navy SEAL training Tiger Woods type of workouts, and all of a sudden 10 pounds is gone in a week. But when you're looking like Abercrombie and Fitch model like Richie is right now, those pounds later on are more difficult to lose. You don't lose them in, I think the draft is the same way.
So yeah, now you're just belittling him, telling him that he looks like Abercrombie and Fitch, right? He knows he's not there yet. Now you're just belittling him.
I got the hair, but the rest of it needs to catch up.
I have called Richie the best looking of the four of us. I am comparing him to an Abercrombie and Fitch model right now. I do not know how this is demeaning.
I mean, every time you talk to him, it's demeaning.
I'll just end it and say that Washington moved up from 6-2 to get RG.
Thank you. Thank you.
When did they
was
do that?
That on air?
All right.
Yes.
What did they give up to do that?
The Rams, in exchange for the number 2 pick, received Washington's number 6 pick and 39 overall pick in 2012. It's number 22 pick in 2013 and its first round pick in 2014.
Three first rounders
and a second.
Oh wow! A trade of a first round and then two first rounders on top of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Great example. But you don't want to give up a first rounder for Matt Stafford. Well, that's the question.
No, but...
All right, hold on.
Do you understand why I don't want to give up? I want you to say it. Why do I not want to give up a first rounder for Matt Stafford?
Because you don't think he's worth it.
No, specifically, why?
I don't know. You say just
because it's a 3-4 year horizon.
I'm losing the
that's
game.
That's why.
Okay.
It's about longevity. Would I give up 3 first rounders for a decade plus of Deshaun Watson? Yeah, of course.
Would you give up trade first rounders? So... I'll use the Dolphins, 3-9. Would you give up a switch and 2 future first rounders for Wilson?
No, probably not. But if there's a way to give up less than that, I'm exploring it.
Fields, same deal. Probably not. Same thing. Same answer.
Probably not.
I agree.
Again, but it's the way I view Matt Stafford. Like, I'm going to pursue Matt Stafford. I'm going to give them an offer. It's going to be an offer that I could live with. I would pursue Zach Wilson. I would pursue Justin Fields, but it's going to be an offer I could live with. And I'm okay if it doesn't work out.
I'm okay with the fact,
like, I don't have to mortgage my future. George Payton's got 6 years to get this done.
Okay.
He doesn't have to figure it out right now.
Fair enough. It should be in the conversation. There are a bunch of different conversations to have. It's not a dead end road. What would you give up for Deshaun? What would you give up for Wilson or Fields, who are clearly next to Lawrence, the two best quarterbacks?
By the way, how much more valuable is the second overall pick than the number 3 overall pick? Serious question.
I agree.
That could easily be a first rounder.
I get it. It's harder, Richie, when you're losing weight, when you just got to lose 1 pound when you're so close to your goal.
Right.
Richie,
so, I mean, like, that was that trade, but going from 9-3, that might not cost that much.
All right. George Payton's got a lot of decisions to make here, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cut and dried. I get it that Stink's out there on Stink Island by himself, because I guess Stink thinks it's all or nothing for Stafford. I can be grown up enough to realize that there are a variety of options this particular year. There's more than one way to go.
Sure.
I just think at this time, acknowledging there's ways to go, the ways to do it. I just think, just sitting here right now, it feels like, to me, the most likely thing to happen is Andy Dalton with Drew Lock. That's all.
I agree.
And they should investigate everything.
I hope it's Jacoby Brissett, personally.
Sure.
I know, same guy. Same deal, same situation.
I'm
just choosing my guy.
My guy was Tyrod Taylor, but I just think he's going to be in Detroit.
So do I.
Because I think they're sweet on Trey Lance, and that's where they're going to go.
How does Anthony Lynn not take him?
I agree. And if you're taking Tyrod Taylor, what's a nice compliment where you're kind of running sort of the same thing with who's left? I just think we should keep our eyes on Mac Jones. I think that dude is going to rise.
All right, well, that's a good one. You called your shot right now, and we'll definitely track that one.
By the way, they weighed Mac Jones.
What was it?
217. Surprised or not surprised?
Surprised that I would have thought it'd be heavier.
Me too. 217 can look different on every single person. Richie? All right, we'll come back and get your ESPN article. I love you, pal. Abercrombie and Fitch, best-looking guy on the show. No? Not winning you over. It's over. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
I want to go back to the that Bill Barnwell article with Deshaun Watson. It's funny. I think we've kind of put Deshaun Watson out of our heads. I have, at least. But it was interesting to see that Barnwell thinks the Broncos have the fourth best chance to actually get Deshaun Watson. Wait, just I'm just checking in with you here. Where are you at with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I'm still obviously incredibly intrigued by Deshaun Watson. Love to do it. I'll give up the farm. I mean, there's very little scenarios you could present that I would say no to for Deshaun Watson, where I could find a lot of scenarios with Matt Stafford that I'm like, nope, doesn't make sense.
Let me revisit Watson.
I think
then.
The reason why we have just kind of cooled on Deshaun Watson a little bit is simply because of the no trade clause.
Right.
That is a huge deal. Deshaun has to choose to come to the Denver Broncos, right? Whereas with Matt Stafford, if you offer them the best deal, you can get him.
Okay, well, sell me this pen. Like, why would Deshaun Watson want to come here?
We have a history of going after veteran quarterbacks. Obviously, Peyton Manning worked out well.
History of success.
Yep. We are still the Denver Broncos. And in the long term, I mean, seriously, I think that what we've been through lately is a blip on the radar. And even for guys like Deshaun Watson, who are playing in the NFL right now, they grew up watching the Denver Broncos dominate.
Okay.
So I don't think that can be forgotten.
There's a championship pedigree with the Broncos that still resonates.
Yes.
Wasn't that long ago
when
you won a Super Bowl.
Right. Deshaun Watson was in the NFL when we – wasn't he? No.
Next
year, right?
He's watching you guys.
But he was in college watching it and, you know, right on the outside.
I mean, when was the last time the Dolphins won a Super Bowl?
Of all the teams in the NFL, I mean, genuinely, I actually – believe this isn't even just selling a pen. We have as young and as good of a nucleus on the offensive side of the ball as anybody in the NFL. When you're talking about our skill players, when you're talking about our offense, we've got no line all of a sudden. I was talking to Kevin before the show. We've got an all pro left tackle. How about that?
That is true. That
when
is true.
Can we say that, right? So
right.
You know, there are things that you could sell.
Okay.
I'm trying to sell a pen, but there's some stuff.
Didn't Watson have some interaction with some Broncos players, too? Wasn't there? There was a little vibe out there with Deshaun Watson.
I don't know.
I thought there was, you know, on InstaFace or, you know, Snapagram or, you know, one of them. Okay. So the reputation with the Broncos is good. The talent is good. Pat Shurmur, does that make sense or not?
I don't know. I mean, Deshaun, I think, has got bigger societal issues that I think are going to influence him. I think he really would love to go to a diverse situation, and I think he would love to be a part of Robert Saleh or even Flores. And so, you know, he's been very vocal about it, and so I think that factors into it a little bit. I don't think that Pat Shurmur has much of a selling point. I mean, from a football standpoint, what selling point does Pat Shurmur have?
Not much.
I can't really sell that pen.
No, you can't. I that's going down the wrong angle, I suppose. we'll just stay on the nice weather and the championship pedigree.
Right. Yes.
I mean, certainly a better championship pedigree than the Jets and the Dolphins. No,
absolutely.
No doubt about that. Geez, who else would be interested there? I don't know. Are the Patriots really going to make a big play for Deshaun Watson?
I think they would be in the mix for sure.
I guess it would be all the same team.
I don't know that Deshaun Watson. I know that Flores is a Patriots guy, but gosh, Deshaun is not too happy with the Patriots situation right now. I mean, that's what sparked the initial public outcry from Deshaun. What was the original tweet? You know, when they hired Caserio, said something like, something's never changed, something like that, right?
That's right.
In other words, I don't think he would want to play for the Patriots.
Okay. Yeah, to me, I think one of the reasons we haven't really visited this conversation a little bit is it is hard to really say how in the world could we, the Broncos, match what the Dolphins could offer. And it does seem a little impossible.
Well, from what angle are you saying that? I mean, are you saying
everything.
From the...
From what they have to offer to who they are as an organization.
I don't care about what they have to offer. I mean,
honestly, no sales tax in Florida.
If you want to play the other side of it, sell you a pin on sell the farm for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I could easily play that game. I mean, that's hard for me to play that game with Matt Stafford. It's hard for me to justify giving up the number 9 overall pick for Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
But for a guy that you're going to get for the next decade
yeah.
to be your quarterback, 3-time Pro Bowler, I mean, golly, that you should not let whatever the value is be a factor in going after Deshaun Watson.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be disappointed then if the Broncos don't put some sort of throw their hat in the ring somehow for Deshaun Watson?
Absolutely. 100%. Yes. You should be pursuing it aggressively.
There should be a package that you put together. You may not win on it, but there should be something.
Yeah, make him say no. You know, don't let it be because you didn't pursue it. Let it be because you didn't think it could happen. If it doesn't happen, make sure it's because Deshaun Watson turned it down.
Hey, have you been surprised to hear how Mark Schlereth is so aggressively enthusiastic about Matt Stafford to the degree that he doesn't understand that other people on the radio station are also interested in Matt Stafford, that he really thinks he's the only one on this?
Right.
But he's being the most vociferous on it, that's for sure.
No, I think that Mark is actually staying true to his guns a little bit. I really do. You know, he's not a draft guy. He doesn't believe in the rookies. He doesn't believe in the prospects of the future. He knows that there's a proven product out there in Matt Stafford. I guess I'm surprised a little bit that he's willing to give up so much for a guy that's 33 years old going into his 13th season. But I'm not surprised that he respects the heck out of Matt, no.
Yeah, Mark, the one thing, boy, if you're not clear, you're really not paying attention, is Mark is as big of an NFL guy as you're going to get.
Right.
In terms of what he considers and who he has respect for and you know, like a lot of guys who are real, real NFL guys. He's also a very old school NFL guy. So the Stafford thing is right up his alley. You know, so that's fine.
I am surprised to hear him say that Matt Stafford is as good as any quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah? It's stuff like that.
I think that's taking it a little far. I mean, Matt Stafford is not in my top 10 of quarterbacks. He's right on the outside.
Yeah.
Dang good quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could call him one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think Mike is just sort of sitting there going along for the ride, but there's no way Mike agrees with him on this particular one. He's just not really fighting against him either. But that's cool, man. I mean, it's good to, you know, have confidence that that's the guy and that's the way to go, and I think the Broncos will be in on that too, and just as the way things line up, it's Stafford week. This is Stafford week.
Yep.
And whatever deal is going to be put in front of the Lions is going to happen this week. And we'll see where it goes. But I have no doubts the Broncos will be part of, think about it.
Apparently one-third of the league has already reached out to the Lions.
Isn't that something?
A third of the NFL is interested in Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
How many teams are going to be interested in Deshaun Watson?
Well,
right?
The article has 17 teams.
17? Okay, over half.
Yeah, over half. And the only reason it's just 17, I mean, you know, the Bengals are committed, right? It's stuff like that. The Saints are in cap hell. The Falcons just aren't in that spot because of cap hell as well. So it's not that they wouldn't be interested. It's just like there really seriously is no way for them to do it.
If the Colts don't end up with Matt Stafford, I'm going to be flat out shocked. Did you see what Jim Irsay said today?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, he flat out said this team is in a championship window. We feel like we're ready to win right now. And the best way to do that is go out and get yourself a proven product at quarterback.
Right.
Now, that is not verbatim, but that was more or less what he said right there.
The two teams that should get the Dolphins should get Deshaun Watson and the Colts should get Matt Stafford. What we should get is a taste of Nate Jackson, The View from Left Field, or wherever Nate is, and we'll find that out next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Man.
All right, earlier we caught up with our guy, Nate Jackson. He writes for the Denver Post. He does incredible songs for us, and we always value his take on everything. Nate Jackson brought to you by the Dadvocates.
Hey, D-Mac. Hey, Tyler. How are you guys?
Hey, buddy.
Super duper. So you would give up this year's second-round pick, next year's first-round pick, and Brandon McManus for Matt Stafford.
Brandon McManus just to sweeten the deal for these guys because I think Matt Prater, the Hawk, is retiring.
You got some breaking news to out?
No, don't. But I just feel like the Hawk, you know, he might hang him up. But if he doesn't, guys, it's not. It never hurts to have two good kickers on the roster.
Dude. Oh, is that right? Yeah, that's interesting. That's a new philosophy.
All right, you got to tell
because you got to read, Tyler.
You brought it up, so you got to tell everybody why you're nicknaming Matt Prater the Hawk.
Well, actually, he nicknamed himself the Hawk.
That's right. The Hawk in the neck.
He has a tattoo of a hawk on his arm. He's the Hawk, man.
No. But do you know what the story is? Or I'm asking,
I don't know.
Oh, okay, Tyler, go ahead. Tell the story.
Oh, well, he's just obsessed with Hawks. Everything Hawks. He's like Brian Dawkins with action figures in his locker. He's got Hawk figurines, and he's like, if he sees a Hawk out in public, I don't know, it was just his deal. That, and he didn't want to be a penciled neck. He worked on his neck. He goes in the weight room, and he does neck drills. That's what he does.
And it used to be, back when there were trees at Dove Valley, now, I think this does go to his Florida days with the Hawks, but at Dove Valley, there used to be Hawks that would run around, and he would literally stop whatever he was doing to sort of watch the Hawk out there on the field. I don't know if you knew that or not, but yeah, I forget, it is something spiritual with him too, like he thinks the Hawks are people, or I don't know, there's a whole thing to Prater and the Hawk thing. Anyway,
I never saw him admiring a hawk in person, but I've always called him the Hawk. Hey, listen, this guy cut his teeth around, like, you know, Todd Sauerbrunn and people like that, John Engelberger. The Hawk lived in a hotel for his first year in the NFL, because John Engelberger did as well, and he looked up to John Engelberger and wanted to emulate him. So he lived in a hotel. He didn't know if he was going to have a job. He didn't know how long he was going to be in the league. And look at it. This is like 13, 14 years later, man. What a career for that guy.
And Brandon's had a great year, too. So.
All right. So,
I do want to make a quick point about Brandon, guys. At the end of the season, Brandon was trending in the wrong direction. Oh. He missed a lot of big kicks, and I coincide that with his activity online and his need to get at Twitter trolls and be involved with that. I don't want Brandon McManus on Twitter anymore, guys. And if he does, I don't want him kicking.
Man. Whoa. Okay. I mean, I guess this is the lead story here. You are officially the only one at the station that's going after Brandon McManus. All right.
I'm not going after him, man. He just needs to clean up his online presence, in my opinion.
All right. Wow. Should the Broncos really make an aggressive play after Matt Stafford? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it depends what you mean by aggressive, but I think Matt Stafford would help this team a lot. I do. I think what the Broncos are searching for a quarterback, and what every team is searching for, is stability, is predictability, where the guy's under center, you know he's going to be there, and you know he's going to be available, you know, and everything else can get your attention. And if you're always worried about who the quarterback's going to be, if he's going to play well, then your team is always going to suffer. And I think Matt Stafford would give him the ability to have some stability and focus on other things. The question is how much you want to give up, you know? And that number 9 pick, I don't know if I would give that up for Matt Stafford.
Well, what does this team look like if Matt Stafford is here? How much better are we?
Right away, I think this offense improves because it's a young offense, and oftentimes they look a little lost, at least in the passing game. And I think a veteran quarterback who knows what he's doing, who knows he's seen every defense in the league, every blitz, and he would see the whole field, would help this offense mature. Absolutely. I think they would probably score, you know, four or five more points a game right off the bat. But defensively, it wouldn't improve at all from Stafford being here. In fact, it might suffer because of what you have to give up to get him. So it's like, okay, how is it proportional to what you're going to gain and lose by getting him. Definitely not, in my mind, giving up three ones for Deshaun Watson. I don't think you want to do that to your football team.
Nate Jackson is our guest. What's bugging you these days? What do you feel like you need to write about or get off your chest, aside from your obvious hate of Brandon McManus?
No, I don't hate him, dude. He's a really good kicker. You just got to focus and stay offline. It really saps your energy, and it takes away your essence. Actually, that's what I want to write about, how we have to kill the Internet, guys. The Internet is destroying us. It's dragging us down to hell. These athletes who, you know, want to have an imprint, want to have a brand, it's pulling them away from the field and pulling them. What's up?
No, I think the Unabomber wrote, like, a manifesto about that.
Unabomber? Come on, man. Hey, I also want to mention one thing that I heard you guys talking about, the marathon. I did hear that conversation. Right. I want to give you my two cents. I think Tyler probably could finish a marathon. It would take him a really long time to do it, but he could finish. D-Mac, I do not think you could finish a football game.
who am I playing against?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who you're playing. Of course it does.
No, it doesn't.
I guarantee you, if I was just playing a football game against a bunch of other 50-year-olds, I'd do just fine.
If it was tackle, you would not.
I'd play corner. They don't touch anybody. A lot of people can play football. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean you're good at football.
Are NASCAR drivers athletes, Nate?
That's a tough one. I say no.
Mm. Pool players? Dart throwers?
No. No, no.
Mm. Marathon runners?
Athletes? That's hard because, yeah, I would say yeah. I guess I'd say yeah because there are some slight changes in pavement and terrain issues. You have to negotiate a curb, for example. So, you're an athlete.
Let me back up a second. I am insulted by you saying I could never play a football game.
You got to define what success is. Like, by us finishing the marathon, that means that you completed the goal, right?
Well, first of all, let's slow down for a second. Because every football player gets pegged to a position by their size, okay? Unless, you know, you're not fast enough and you have to go from a wide receiver to a tight end and put on a ridiculous amount of weight. But if you're 6'8", you're going to be an offensive lineman or maybe a defensive end or maybe a tight end. You're not going to play cornerback.
Sure.
You're not going to play safety. Yeah. So at my size, I could definitely play a football game because I'd be slotted into a position where guys who are 5'8 play football. So I guess I am insulted by that. They think I couldn't finish a stupid football game playing where I would play.
There's some things in life you just got to accept, D-Mac.
Hold on. I'm not tough enough to play football? I'm not smart enough? What am I not enough to play a football game, Nate?
Stuff.
So when's the last time you rolled by a park and saw a group of 50-year-old men playing a tackle football game? It doesn't happen. Nobody plays tackle football beyond the ages of 20, whatever. And if you see a guy in his 30s playing tackle football, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
So God made a mistake and let him do that. Nobody should play
tackle football. Hold on, but then there's no difference between me and you or anybody if they're the same age then.
Well, that's not necessarily true. If we were
you
to strap up right
was.
Now and play, D-Mac, I shouldn't be playing, but I could. You shouldn't be playing, and you shouldn't.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right,
there you go. Our guy, Nate Jackson from 1043thefan.com, also the Denver Post, and I think he does some busking on street corners. That's Nate Jackson brought to you by the Advocates. To keep it rolling, it's John Davis and Nick Ferguson. Cecil is out at the Senior Bowl. That is next right here on The Fan.